The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good types.
But so many poor choices.
This is The Homance Chronicles. I don't know.
You know, you just flashed me back to a memory of when I was at Specs Howard, which is a media arts school, and I went there for radio and video, and the instructors were always like, do not sing like in or out of a song, because you hear DJs do that on the radio and they're like, absolutely do not ever. Like, mm-mm. It's imprinted in my brain that you just don't.
I just did though.
I know.
That's actually really funny. I wonder, why do they say that? Like, is it a rule because of they don't want people to,
because it sounds bad and it's dumb and people don't like it. It has nothing to do with like FCC guidelines or anything.
That's fair. I wasn't thinking about that part of it. I'm like, yeah, you know, I really don't care for a lot of the DJs I hear on the radio.
No.
Like, I'm serious. So, can't stand them. I fucking Steve Corbin or whoever the fuck he is. Steve Covino. I can't stand him. Can't stand him. I fucking can't stand him.
Yeah. So
he's
then
so
add
annoying.
On him singing out of an intro of a song or something.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, yeah.
You know, for being a customer experience designer, you think I'd fucking get that faster.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's just.
Well, I'm not at work, goddammit.
People aren't into it. Right. And most people can't sing well. So
there's that. Also, I'm not great at it, but I'm not terrible at it. I know that much.
Okay. I am Nicole. You never introduced yourself. You just skipped right over it.
I'm Sarah. This is Sarah, obviously. Nicole doesn't sing to you. Sarah does.
Yeah. I'm the rule enforcer.
And I don't know the rules exist until they're enforced.
Right. So my voice is a little rough today. I apologize. I had a little scopey scope done. Had some tubes shoved down
the
throat. So
you don't sound that rough. It might feel worse than you sound.
I probably do feel worse than I sound. But for a quick little, I guess, fun story before we dig into our Hove history.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you've seen this on my Instagram yet or not. So I went to Arts Beats and Eats, which is a festival in Royal Oak, like in my town, that happens every year on Labor Day weekend. And I usually go like make an appearance at some point. A lot of the times I get like, free wristbands. Yeah. A lot of times I get like free wristbands or something, because previously I had like an office that was within the festival grounds. So I got free wristbands, and previously
hangouts
when I worked in radio, I would get free wristbands. And anyway, you can also be on the outskirts of the festival and still hear a lot of the bands like clear as day.
Right.
So you can go to the bar that's not in the festival and still enjoy like hearing some of the bands. Well, kind of a last minute decision. Like, we were him and hawing about it. Me and some girlfriends were him and hawing about going, because the main performers on the main stage that were closing out the festival on Monday night were Montel Jordan, Rob Bass, and Flo Rida, which I don't even really like
stellar.
Flo Rida, but
I do.
I'm here for Montel Jordan and Rob Bass.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
And so Monday around 4:30-ish, the show is supposed to start at 6:30. I sent out a text like, so are we doing this or not? Like, hadn't heard from anybody all day. I had melted into my couch on Monday. I just watched shitty dating reality TV.
Of course.
And I was like, I should probably like move around a little bit. Like, I should probably do something with my life. And so
I can stop being a potato for the day.
So I was like, let me see if they're like really about it. So we're like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to go. I decided to walk up. It's like a mile for me. So mm-hmm. it's not like terrible, but again, because I was like, oh, it's a beautiful night and I haven't moved today.
Right.
So I walked up. And when I got there, I went to the one of the main like admission entrances where you buy a wristband to get in. And this guy, he's three people in front of me and he turns around and he looks at the couple in front of me and says, I have an extra wristband. Do you need it?
No.
And the couple looks at him and they're like, no, like they're just kind of like doing a weird shoulder shrug, okay. shaking it. Like, yeah, no, it's okay. And I'm like, I do. So he gives me this wristband. He's like, it's for the whole weekend, but today it's the last night. I'm like, uh-huh. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'm aware. I had a feeling, friend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So he gives me the free wristband. Then I walk and then I'm trying to put it on myself. And then another guy helps me put it on because I couldn't get it on. And then I go in and I find my one friend right away. And so I didn't pay for parking. I didn't pay to get in. Found my friend immediately. And then within 5 minutes, Montel Jordan comes on the stage. I was like, this has been a perfectly timed evening. And so.
No kidding.
He comes on the stage. He's a pastor now. So he didn't do any of his songs full length. They were all just like intros. And the crowd was pretty lame. Because like you couldn't even get into a song because then he'd stop it. Because he didn't want to say the lyrics or whatever. Like, I loved that Silk the Shocker song that he was on.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I love Master P and all of them, but I can't play that anymore or whatever. Like, so he stopped it before it even got to the rap part.
So he was just like a false idol at this point because he wasn't actually giving y'all what you needed.
He wasn't doing the work of the crowd. So he was out there and it was still daylight too. And I wasn't drinking because I had to have this GI scope done. So I was like,
okay, this was a poor choice.
This is weird. This is weird. And then all of a sudden, the crowd goes nuts. Well, I'm in the back and I'm short. I can't really tell what's going on. Then all of a sudden, I look up on the screen and you know who I see?
Who?
Flavor Flav.
Shut the fuck up. No, he was not there. Flavor yes. Flav. I missed yes. Flavor Flav. Oh, man.
Yes. Yes. And
okay, so you got
my
video,
immediate,
obviously.
Yes. Well, that's what I posted to my Instagram was a reel.
Now I'm specifically going to search this out. Continue yeah. with your
Go
reels.
To my profile. Because I posted it as like a post as well. And so I would capture the chorus of This Is How We Do It. And then a slow migration up to Flavor Flav's face. And then I have like a little graphic that's like, yes, that is him.
Oh my Which, God.
By the way, Montel Jordan looks amazing. Like he looks like he's in his 30s and he's 53. I'm sure he's dyeing his beard because there's no way he doesn't have any.
It's gotta be. Oh, look at him. He does look good.
He looks really good.
What is he, 60? I'm just kidding. He's like in his 50s,
I
right?
I said he's 53. Yeah.
Okay.
And Flavor Flav is in his 50s.
Yes, that's Flavor Flav. His clock ain't big enough though. Where'd he come from with that clock?
And so he looks rough.
Yes. He was at, so he did the Wu-Tang concert too, right?
Yes. And Nas. Wu-Tang and Nas.
You know who else was out there?
Who?
Busta.
Oh, God. Remember when we saw Busta?
Yeah,
and we were
like,
oh,
saying.
My God, this is terrible. Like, he was sounding rough.
And he called the crowd a bunch of fucking assholes, remember?
Yeah.
He was being disrespectful as shit.
Yeah.
So my friend Omar, for all of you who know our friend Omar, he actually went to the concert this past weekend. I want to text him now because I want to see like how bad was the bust. Was he still bad? Because he was.
There's no way
rough.
He looked better years
no.
later.
No. No
so,
way.
Okay, so then this story continues on because I was like, all right, I'll go get waters for me and my friend, and. I go stand in the line for the like drink booth, right? And they've got three different lines. I'm in the middle line, in the right line next to me. I look over and like directly parallel to me is a guy I know from work. And he's and he's by himself. And so, aww. Well, he lives down there. So he just walked out to, he was like, I had a free wristband. I just wanted to get out of the house.
Lack of potato chip, just like you.
Yes. And so then he bought my water.
Oh, that was nice of him.
I know. And then so he came and hung out with my friends. So then we had two more, I had two more friends show up.
Oh my and God.
So now there's what, six of us? Yeah. There's like six of us and random VP of sales guy. And but everything's cool, everybody's getting along. Then
everything's cool, everybody's getting along.
And then we're standing there for forever after Rob Bass waiting for Montel Jordan. Or not Montel Jordan, I'm sorry, for Flo Rida. So we're like waiting forever and ever for Flo Rida. While we're waiting, this like something falls on me. And I like look over and I'm like, it's a t-shirt. And I like pull it off my shoulder. I'm like, is someone stripping? Like, where did this come from? And behind me, I didn't know this was happening because it was behind me. They were shooting off t-shirts with a t-shirt gun.
Shut the fuck up.
And it landed on the tall guy next to me and then fell off of him onto me. And it was for it was for a weed oil.
For any of you who don't know what that means, a vape pen, I believe. Weed oil and vape pen are synonymous. Weed oil.
Well, because it specifically said like oil, like it was like whatever oil it was. And so I was like, okay. So I hold it up and it's a medium. And I was like, and the guy was kind of looking at me like it was supposed to be his because it like landed on a verse. I'm like, bro, this is too small for you.
Do you want a medium, sir? Do you need a medium? Would you like, fit in this?
This guy was like 6'4" or something. Like he was so tall. And I was like, you think that you're going to wear a medium? Like
you see, you already get the benefit of being fucking taller than all the people here. So you can see the goddamn stage. Let me fucking have this.
I was like, this is a new pajama shirt. And, and of course sales guy is like, you need to wear that the next time we're in a meeting together. And I'm like, I have no problem with that. Like, I do not care.
No, like, why would you?
My level of caring is zilch.
At this point, you're your own boss. Fuck
you know. I'm like,
that's my image and I control it, damn it. Plus,
it's like this giant horse head icon thing. So the name of the brand is like far down. So like nobody would be able to see it on the camera.
Anyway. Oh, I know what oil brand you got. I know what kind of weed oil paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. Merchandise you received.
Yeah. So then Flo Rida comes out finally and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I knew this many of his songs. Not necessarily that I like them, but like I was like, oh, okay, you know, but it was more fun. The crowd was a little more hype, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Flavor Flav comes back out.
He did party songs. Flav comes back out. We were all like, it was cool seeing you, bud. But now you're making us sad. Can you not?
Well, I was like, what's he doing now? So like
Busta came out. Oh.
So like right before they did the boots with the fur song, Flo Rida is walking around with a dozen roses.
For who?
And Flavor Flav is wandering around too. And at one point, one of my friends goes, he's just getting in the way at this point. Like, what is he doing?
Where's Flavor's keeper? Where's his keeper at?
So then Flo Rida splits the dozen roses in half, gives some to Flav. They start throwing them out to the crowd. Oh, and then Jesus. They start bringing girls on the stage.
Oh, Jesus. This is not the 90s. We are not R. Kelly.
We have Flavor in the middle of all these young girls. No. I was like, all of this is bad. This is all bad.
Did we not learn from R. Kelly? Did we not learn from R. Kelly?
But not only R. Kelly, Flavor of Love. Should have taught him to not put himself on part, display.
He doesn't get it. Come on. The man doesn't 63. Understand.
63. I don't even know how he's still alive, though.
Miracles.
Seriously, when he came out and on money. The stage, I was like, oh my God, he's alive? Like, I
miracles and money, honey.
I know. I'm like, how? He's got many, many lives, apparently.
Honestly, I feel like the team of people that are keeping him alive need him to be alive. So I think at some point in any person's career, when they're that famous in the 90s or whatever, and then it's just like not a good fame, it's kind of like a fucking shit show fame, there's a team of people behind them going, you need to continue this train because we need to keep getting paid. Mm-hmm. So Flav's team is probably like, go back out there. Yeah, just go get some, yeah, just go do that really quick. It'll be fun. Just go ahead, do that. We support you.
Mm-hmm. So have then, a ball,
bud.
So then I post my reel on Instagram when I get home. Oh, and one of my friends drove me home, so I didn't have to walk back. So that was nice.
Fantastic. That's a lovely idea.
And then I post my reel. And in my reel, like, comments, I, like, give, like, the creepy vibes and the cringe face about Flav. Kind of detail out, like, what happened or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I tagged Montel Jordan and Flavor Flav in my post. I tagged them.
Yeah.
I'm that person.
I would too. And?
Montel Jordan DM'd me. If you guys could see, you see Sarah's face, this face that you're making. Oh my God. So he DMs me and just replies to the reel with the like 100 emoji, you know? Where's my conversation? Oh, here it is.
Oh, it's not screenshotted. I would have had that thing.
Oh, I screenshotted it. I screenshotted
frame it.
Frame it.
Just print it. Well, out. You have a printer? You want me to help you?
No, I didn't think it was that important. I mean, it's probably just somebody on his team, you know, like as so, you know, maybe. And so he just sends the 100 emoji, and then I wrote, how did Flavor Flav end up at your show? I'm very interested in this story.
Inquiring minds would like to know, sir. Do you have time to write me this?
He said, he's my friend and he's also friends with Flo Rida.
He says, he answered you, bitch?
Yeah. What? Why wouldn't he? I asked a question.
I don't know. Some random white woman's asking him about fucking Flavor Flav. I don't know. Did he really need to respond to that? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how this works anymore. What does fame mean anymore? He's like, we're people too, damn it. So did you plug our podcast?
No, that's where I let the conversation end.
I'm just kidding.
But he spelled Flo Rider like writer, like R-I-D-E-R instead of R-I-D-A. And so I had posted a screenshot of this conversation on our closed group on Facebook, the Homance Chronicles of Judgment Free Zone. And people commented and like, they're like, oh, that's cute that you think he actually has a social media team. And I'm like, well, he's got the blue check. He's got a lot of followers, I think.
And then
another person commented and they're like, if it was his team, they would have at least spelled it right. And I'm like, oh, that's probably fair.
Yeah, that's 100% him. The one P, that's him. That's your boy. Holy shit. So just out of curiosity, how did he manage to get to your show?
Yeah. And then one of our other friends commented on my reel saying that Flavor was at the Nas Wu-Tang show as well, and I was okay. Like, oh, okay, that makes more sense though.
Yeah, that may, I mean, just a random happenstance.
So Flav was just so touring, you know, Southeast Detroit or Southeast Michigan, I mean, around Detroit to these various shows apparently, and
mm-hmm.
probably getting, you know,
I mean,
$3,000 to show up and say hi.
Like, I was gonna say, when you really ain't got nothing else fucking going on.
Yeah,
Michigan, I mean, cool place I would to hang out, I would, apparently.
Yeah, I would show up. You pay me a couple of grand to say hi. Sure.
Come out on stage, throw flowers at people, and then just hang out with a bunch of bitches all night. Fine by me.
So
it's not a bad gig.
Twilight Zone. That's where I'm at.
And I was not there. What a crazy time. Well, I'm glad to see that the universe is still providing, you know, even we're not together, we're apart. It's still bringing the crazy.
I looked back on that evening and I was like, that was completely free and will live in my memories forever.
Yeah. That was free. Free 99 memories forever. I mean, that's what we're really, it's all about, right? Life.
I know. And then I told my like contact / boss, I guess. I was like, I ran into our sales guy at RSB's and he's like, huh? I was like, yeah, and then he hung out with me and my friends. He's like, what?
It's a weird time, guys. Weird time. About to see some weird shit, bud. I'm not drinking tonight. They are, though.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. What a funny, funny story. I'm so excited about all this. Now I'm going to go check all of our socials, see what's going on.
Isn't that the funniest? Oh. Yes. I thought that was hilarious. I was like, this is the night / story that won't end.
Just keeps going because you fucking were DMing people afterwards. Unreal.
I did not DM. He DM'd me, first of all.
Right. I get that. I understand. Right. He initiated them. Fair.
Well, and the guy that I'm dating currently, he's like, you didn't want to get up on the stage. I'm like, I don't have to. They come in my DMs.
Listen, we have a different relationship. Okay. You get on stage with him, he's in my DMs. And right. Yes, we're talking about Montel.
Yeah.
The R&B rapper from he was the
like,
nights.
Yeah. It was just funny. He was like, oh, he's like, damn, you gotta like that, huh? And I was like, here's the screenshot. I do.
Duh. Fucking duh. Validates all kinds of shit. So much validation.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need to get on stage. So
you're gonna hit him up in a couple of months, right? And be like, hey, remember me when we were in Detroit? Remember that? That was a fun time. Do you want to fly us hoes out to the studio here to
Well, now that he's a pastor, his Instagram is all about
Jesus
being saved and whatever, so I don't even like, that's why I was like, well, now what do I say? I guess that's it.
Enjoy Jesus.
I don't know. Like, yeah, it's all pictures of his wife. I'm like, I'm not gonna be DMing a guy who's like full Instagram is pictures of him and his wife. Come on now.
Hell no. That's a good point. I forgot about that part. He pivoted.
Yeah, because him and Mace. I know. Well, apparently he had a sex addiction. I didn't look that up, but that's what one of the friends said. That he was sleeping with different women in every city and he was just getting real nasty. And so he turned it around and, you know.
Good on him.
Sought out God. But he's been married for forever. So his wife stayed with him through all that.
Taking the wheel.
Apparently. Sex addiction. I'm like, well, you know, he is like 6'8". So I'm sure a lot of women were also curious. Not only the fact that there's groupies and it's every musician you've ever heard of who does that, but still, right. Like, he's 6'8". So I'm sure women were like, what you working with?
I did not know he was that tall. That's a tall man.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Right? Yeah. So some women were probably like, it's a challenge. Like, can I?
MVP. That was a tree everybody probably wanted to climb back then.
100%.
You girl included, hey.
Right? Yeah. I mean, think back to those days.
Can't. Ugh. Don't want to.
Ugh. It was so good, though. That it 90s really was. Hip-hop that's and R&B.
Why, that's why I don't want to. I'm going to be sad all day for the rest of the night now.
Oh, man. Okay.
We're supposed to be enjoying our mumble rap. Come on.
I'll get into this hoe of history now.
Ooh, hoes of history. Who do we have?
We have Betty Dodson. You know Betty?
I love the name Betty.
Oh, okay.
I know I've heard of Betty, but I don't know who she is or what she has done in history. So let's hear it.
Well, since I had that story, this one is kind of a quickie. There's not a lot about her on the interwebs, but there's enough, let me put it that way, for us to really be able to be like, we need to bow down to Betty.
Hell so, yeah.
Yeah, so Betty Dodson was an American sex educator. She was an artist by training. She exhibited erotic art in New York. She pioneered a pro-sex feminist movement. She is also referred to as an evangelist of self-pleasure, who taught generations of women how to masturbate in workshops.
Oh my. Uh-huh. Are we going back to the sprinkles type?
Kind of. I have a quote from Sprinkles.
Okay, yeah. About so that Betty. Was the same. That's why I knew her name, because they were in around the same time there. Yeah. Cool. How exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So Miss Betty was born in 1929, and I know this is a very important fact for everyone, but she's also a Virgo.
Oh yes, very important fact. Very, very important. I honestly feel it's important to identify those for our hoes, because it gives us a little sense of who they were as people.
Right? Her birthday was August 24th, so she was the Leo Virgo cusper, but on the Virgo side, only 4 days from mine.
Oh, shit. So she was pragmatic, practical, and also full of herself. Got it.
I mean, if DMs existed back then, people would have been going into hers. So she was born in Kansas, but she moved to New York at 21 years old to train as an artist. So like I said, she was actually like a fine art artist. That's how she started out.
Okay.
She got married in 1959, but she was only married for about 6 years. So she was divorced in 1965. So around the time that she was 36, after her divorce, is when she went on the quest of sexual self-discovery.
Oh, she was already done, been grown up, married, and got divorced. Okay.
Correct. She had already done her erotic art exhibit and all that. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she goes on this sexual self-discovery after divorce. Divorce was 1965. In 1968, she held a one-woman show of erotic art in New York.
Oh.
Yes.
Was she the art?
She was not the art from what I can tell. She displayed art that she had created, but it was only hers. But the way that it was written, this was written, I was like, I don't know. She might have been naked. I don't know.
She was 100% naked. 100% she was naked.
Yeah, so then 1970s onward, she organized what she calls body sex workshops. And so body sex is something that she coined. Like, it's a phrase that she coined. Okay. And it means a practice to help women connect with their bodies, erogenous zones, heal shames, improve pleasure perception, and promote self-love.
Okay, girl.
So she was looking at this whole sexual self-discovery is also, though, a healing journey.
Nicole.
Yes.
I think Betty was Annie's live-in girlfriend.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to interrupt, but I do believe that they were live-in girlfriends.
Okay.
Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense then. If she was on the sexual education side of things.
She was. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
We're putting it together. History.
Okay. Right. It's probably really funny if somebody listened to the Annie Sprinkles one and is yelling at us right now. Like, how do you guys not remember?
I don't remember what I did this morning to my own face and hair. So
I was under anesthesia today. For the record.
Fair.
So she taught women how to have an orgasm without a partner and with a partner. So her workshops were 2-hour sessions with 15 naked women, each using a quote unquote magic wand to aid in masturbation. But we know that the magic wand is the Hitachi. The Hitachi is like the OG still number one vibrator, I'm pretty sure.
Is it like, really?
I'm pretty sure. As massagers came along in the evolution of technology, Hitachi obviously did not start out making vibrators as sex toys. They made no. massagers,
right?
Stuff. Yeah. Yes, yes. And so, yeah, that's the old G. You
oh
know,
my God,
self pleasure tool.
Who knew?
Well, I did.
Hitachis. It sounds like hibachi. Well, yeah.
Well, I actually, you know what? There's also a dark history with Bailey Sarian episode about sex toys / masturbation.
Right.
So if people wanted a fun way to hear about the history of it, you can go to YouTube or the Dark History podcast and listen to her like hour long explanation of how they got to the Hitachi wand and beyond.
The Hitachi wand and beyond. All right, I think I'm lying. I think Betty was definitely a part of their little group, but I don't believe that she was Annie's right-hand lady.
I mean, Betty does look like she could have been a lesbian. And I'm stereotyping, obviously, by some of the later pictures of her, but I didn't go into the depths of her sexual orientation or like any other relationships other than that one divorce. Which was to a man. So.
Right. She was, she's okay. Keep going. She was definitely in the same group. I think the same circles anyway.
Had to have been. Because mm-hmm. like I said, I've got a quote from Annie here.
Yeah.
So there's also what's coined as the Betty Dodson method, which she recommended women put a small towel over her vulva in order to dull the sensation of the vibrator and prolong the pleasurable experience. And she also was an advocate for pleasure in the vagina and the clit at the same time. So
yes. She recognized the difference and called it out, so educated people.
Yes, so she's known for the Betty Dodson method.
So what is, okay.
So I don't know if it's the towel move or if it's the fact that she was like, you should do both areas at once. Which I'm thinking it's just the towel move, but.
I don't know, but like, did she pioneer the both movements officially?
I'm like, that's why I'm like, I don't think that you can claim that you're the pioneer of that, can you? I mean, I'll Google specifically Betty Dodson method.
Pioneer.
She developed Betty Dodson method, combining a unique approach of rocking the pelvis while stimulating the clitoris and using breath work.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So neither of the things that have I described it are what the very first result of Google says. But what are you gonna do?
Really can't.
Well, so there was though on an episode of that Goop show on Netflix, where Betty Dodson was on the episode and she was like in her late 80s or early 90s because it was just recently. And like she made Gwyneth Paltrow like blush.
Right.
And so I assume in that episode, which I don't think I saw it, that she was doing this whole rocking the pelvis breath work situation, or you know, explaining how to do it
right,
the good old rock and roll as she calls it.
That's remarkable.
Yeah So I should have done more research on her method because we could have went into this for quite some time, but anyway, moving on. In 1987, her Ms. Magazine memoir an instructional series, Sex for One, was published. And Gloria Steinem was, you know, the originator, or at least part originator of Ms. Magazine. Did you know that?
When? No.
Yeah.
Who's Gloria?
Gloria Steinem? She's a feminist lawyer.
For all those listening.
Oh, okay. I'm like... So Betty's quasi-memoir, Sex for One, was then taken by Random House and published later and then translated into 25 languages.
Oh shit, good for her.
Yeah. And so then again in 2010 she had a book published called Sex by Design. And yeah, at age 90, she was on the Goop episode, the Goop Lab episode.
Man. So
she, at 90, she was still teaching this rock and roll breath work.
What a badass.
Orgasm situation.
And I feel so, like if she can still do the movements, that shows that anybody can continue to do the movements. You know what I mean? Like you're getting old.
Well, yeah, if, don't I feel blame like age. It's, yeah, it's like one of those things where a body in motion stays in motion. You know, if you're mm-hmm. if you're gonna become a lump, if you're gonna be me on Monday who just melted into the
you're
couch,
you're gonna be a potato.
You might have some problems, right. But you know, if you keep the joints lubricated, you'll be all right.
Keep the juices flowing.
Yeah. So she ended up passing away in late 2020, so not that long ago, from yeah. psoriasis. So
Jesus. So she made it this far and then she passed away from psoriasis?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my.
So
what do you got more going on there?
This is my Annie Sprinkle quote.
Oh, nice.
It says, Annie Sprinkle, the 1970s porn star and prostitute turned sex educator, was also a Dodson, I don't know what this word is.
Acolyte.
Yep. To teach sex, this is beginning of quote. To teach sex in such an explicit hands-on way requires enormous courage, experience, and conviction. Ms. Sprinkle said in a phone interview, Betty had it all. She popularized the clitoris and clitoral orgasms and gave the clitoris a celebrity status.
Fuck yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right,
so and it sounds then, like oh sorry
no go ahead
it sounds like Annie took a page from Betty's book,
right,
in her later years,
right. And so then Gloria Steinem, who I had mentioned earlier as the co-founder of Ms. Magazine, wrote in an email that quote, Betty Dodson was a brave and daring advocate for women's rights to sexual knowledge and pleasure. Her workshops turned women onto the beauty of their own bodies, and her outrageous honesty allowed more women to speak our truths.
She's my kind of lady. Who's the doctor who does the sex shows on TV?
Dr. Ruth?
Yeah. I feel like she's got the same brashness as Dr. Ruth, potentially, or even more brash. But I like it.
Right. So she, Dodson referred to her business as the masturbation business. And she would call it a social justice work. So she said, if women, yes, if women could learn to pleasure themselves properly, they could end their sexual dependence on men, which would make everybody happy.
She's not wrong, though.
She says, masturbation will get you through childhood, puberty, romance, marriage, and divorce. It will see you through old age.
Oh, yeah. There's an old horny bitch.
So.
I love this story. I love Betty.
Right? So, there's a lot of women who admire her, but she also must have had like an amazing energy for the women who actually went to her workshops to
like feel the group sessions.
Yeah, I mean, 15 naked women all trying to figure out how to orgasm together because they're struggling for one reason or another. You have to be you have to be so comfortable though.
To create a room, an energy in a room that makes 15 people independently, individually comfortable with their own bodies while next to strangers is remarkable in and of itself.
Right.
And then to go through and actually have the orgasm in front of everybody, like group cum.
Oh man. And because of her fine art background, she also would provide a lot of visuals. And not only was it just focused on sensual pleasure, but like knowing your body and your anatomy. And so she would show pictures of vulvas and all these different things so that women would understand how their body worked.
I love that.
Right?
That's just like iconic. And I feel as though some of these women that we've come across are doing it strictly because they feel like that's their mission in life. And I feel like that's her for sure.
Yeah. Her initials are bad. Like B-A-D. B-A-D. She was like proud of. Yeah. She was like so proud. Her initials were bad. Betty Ann Dodson.
Oh my God. My mom named my dog Betty Ann.
Does she know?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Oh, we're going to tell her though. Drop that bomb on her.
So
she's going to be excited.
Yeah. One of the final quotes in this article from the New York Times is there was a profile that ran last March when everything was shutting down for quarantine, which was prior to her passing away. Because she passed away in October of 2020.
Oh, she missed it. Good for her.
No, she was in it.
Oh, shit. You're right.
She,
my bad.
Yeah. Quarantine was March 2020. She passed away in October 2020. And so in March, when quarantine was starting and she did this article, she told the journalist from the New York Times, quote, "Partner sex, that's over now. But I wouldn't turn down a good looking guy if he walked in now."
Still getting it. You old dirty bitch.
So I just thought that was amazing. And in this New York Times article, there's a picture of her like hugging herself in a robe. And she just looks so happy. Like so joyous.
Content.
Yes.
Like proud of herself.
Well, and kind of young too. Like she doesn't, I mean, she looks old obviously, but not like
in 90s.
I'm like, man, it's the fountain of youth, masturbation.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean,
so
there's many things that have been said around how like important it is to actually have an orgasm regardless of where it came from. So maybe we should just take Betty's. Did she have like a regime? Like, is there like a workout plan? Can she share a masturbation plan for self-improvement or?
there is a website. There's a website called Dodson and Ross. Ross is the last name of her business partner. So if you wanted to watch videos or learn about body sex or any of that kind of stuff, you can go to that website, which the like subhead, it's Betty Dodson and Carlin Ross, and underneath it it says better orgasms, better world. So but yeah, there's a body sex calendar. You could take a workshop. They're doing an orgasm project where you can like listen to women ask questions that maybe like you're wondering about yourself. There's toys, Betty's Barbell. It's a 1 pound medical stainless steel weight that engages the pelvic floor muscle for increased pleasure. So yeah,
Betty's, I mean, like, we don't fuck around with stuff like Goop. Here's a barbell and use your hand.
I was like, watch the Goop Lab episode on Netflix. Go to DodsonandRoss.com.
Get yourself a 1 pound weight.
Right?
Standard stainless steel issued. No, but I mean,
they got a whole shop. There's like a lot of stuff.
That's awesome. I love that. And a, oh, I'm sorry. And a Hitachi.
Right. Hitachi Magic One. The bare minimums that you need for your bedroom nightstand.
That's like your entry to puberty package. We're just gonna, like, when our friends' kids hit puberty.
That's a little drastic.
Here's a Betty Dodson book.
I don't know if that's an entry. That's like a
16. So when we're 16 years
maybe,
old. Maybe, okay?
Yeah, maybe slightly post like coming out of puberty. Like, I don't think you can enter in at like 13 with the Betty Dodson method.
Listen, friends. These are going to be core memories you carry with you for the rest of your life. Learn it young. Make it a routine.
It's okay. You started your
period? Okay.
She's on episode 3, The Pleasure Is Ours, of the Goop series on Netflix.
And I think I read something just now about Netflix saying that it was the highest watched episode of that series.
Really? Like,
everybody watched it. Yeah, so I'm gonna do that now.
Yeah, no kidding. So she did eventually become a PhD in sexology.
Good.
And has had many other written magazine articles and other books that are just like, maybe they're not as popular, but her partner Carlin Ross is an attorney, entrepreneur, and editor-in-chief of everything that is Betty Dodson's stuff, everything from the foundation to the workshop. So
okay,
she's keeping it all running and alive, even though Betty has passed on. So,
well, that's awesome. I love that. I love that her legacy is continuing.
Yeah.
So awesome.
You just see like Betty's smile, and she actually has like a little bit of color to her cheeks. And I'm like, yeah, sexual health. She's a happy lady. Yeah.
It's a big deal. Like that crazy thing I sent you about how women are supposed to be able to smell their partners, uh-huh, and birth control stopping women from smelling their partners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why women are deciding they don't like their partners halfway through the relationship anymore, because they get off birth control and they're like, I don't like you. I don't like the way you smell. I don't like any of this. No, 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 no.
Right. I know. I just want to use it as an excuse for my terrible picking. I was on birth control for a majority of my life, and
I want to say that's probably an accurate thing to start using. Go for it, you know. YOLO.
So
well, thank you for running through Betty's little life with us. It was probably grand, let's be honest. And just continuing to bring up to light all these hoes that made it possible for us to be what we are today.
Right. And then look at you making connections.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the Annie Sprinkles.
Remembering things.
I saw the Annie Sprinkles quote, but I didn't know if she was just an admirer or if they were like really in it together. And it seems as though from the timing they were in it.
Yeah. I feel like they were definitely like two ships passing in the same, whatever, harbor or something, because they were both doing educational type work. But
and
I think
in New
that-
York.
Yeah, and I think that Annie's was a lot less educational, a lot more shock.
Right.
Where Betty was going down the educational path. And I think that because Betty's lifestyle of having a husband may have catapulted her into a better light that Annie was not catapulted into, because she was a sex worker.
Details.
Mm-hmm. Nuances. Anyway, you got an atta girl for us, aside from all the fun stuff you've gone through?
I mean, my attagirl is that I am truly prioritizing my health and doing a lot of these tests that are not fun but need to happen so that I can make decisions about what I want to do with my body.
Educated decisions.
Right. And so when I went to go get my EGD today, which is basically a scope of the end of your esophagus and where it meets your stomach, my doctor, he comes in, he doesn't even say hello or anything. Cause he knows that I'm like,
are a Virgo?
Yes. Yes. He knows that I'm extremely, how can I put this, in tune with my body and have done a lot of research and have been dealing with stuff for a long time. And just, I know I'm an educated patient.
You are not interested in bedside manner or pleasantries. You just want to know what's going on.
Well, I don't mind bedside manner and pleasantries, but I want all of the data in order to make decisions, because he referred me to a surgery or to a surgeon, but as you know, surgeons like to perform surgery, and I'm like, right, but is that really the best route for me?
But do we need to,
but is it actually going to be worse after? So I am doing all of the tests, like
might as
all
well
of the tests, like
you might as well,
so many
like 13,000 of them.
Yeah. Mostly. And so when we were in the office and he was referring me to the surgeon, he was like, she's really, really good. And she'll, you know, go through everything in detail, da, da, da. And she'll probably have you do this procedure with this extra thing and this extra thing. And so, yes, what he told me is happening. The EGD that I got today, I have to do with a monitor for the next like 96 hours. There's another test that I have to do that is only scheduled like 3 times a month at the hospital. Like you have to get on a waiting, like, so she is making me do all of the things. And so he walks into the room today and he goes, I warned you. Doesn't even say hello. He's like, oh, I warned God. You that this was going to happen. And I'm like, I'm totally fine with it. Like, I want this to happen. It's fine. Like, I prefer.
You. You were warned and you did not heed my warning. No, I did. I heard you. And I said, okay, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, I warned you this is going to happen. I'm like, yep. And he's like, well, you know, she is one of the best surgeons in Michigan and is definitely the best surgeon of this hospital. And she's extremely methodical. And I was like, sounds like me. Great. Perfect.
Right. Yes. Pragmatic. Let's run it. Fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I am not losing patience with this process.
That's good. I love to hear
everything scheduled and done, and I'm not getting stressed out about it. So
yeah. Well, congratulations. And atta girl, you're not letting it run your life.
No.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
So my atta girl is that I just continue to surprise myself with how I'm surviving. But we did hunker down and start putting stuff, you know, making the house a home. And so really excited because we were able to, you know, just get more stuff put away, make decisions together, and, you know, continue to make this house our home or building. And I'm just so happy. And we went to a wedding this weekend, and my atta girl is that I did not get blackout shit face wasted and wake up with a massive hangover in the morning and forget, pretend like I didn't know what happened or whatever. Like, I was an adult, I did adult things, and I didn't ruin my next day by drinking too much. So I'm very proud of myself.
Way to go.
Because the opportunity did present itself, and I was like, I want to function tomorrow and put my house together. And that's what I chose to do. And I did it. And I'm just like, I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Atta girl.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, it's a strange place I'm in anymore.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that at least you can remember that strange place. And if everybody liked what they heard today, please rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram at homance_chronicles. DM us or send us emails about a whole of history you'd like us to cover. You can email us at homancepodcast@gmail.com. You can also join the closed group, because that's where you would have seen my DM conversation with Montel Jordan, if you go to Facebook and go to the Homance Chronicles, the Judgment Free Zone.
Believe it. Jesus Christ. Homance out.